And today I've only been given 5 minutes. So what I've decided is not to wear my glasses so I don't have to look at the clock.
Amen.
So this is the challenge. For me, the challenge is to communicate the sense of what today is all about, the celebration that we're having, and this presentation that will follow. And again, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. So that was the real challenge, and this is how I was thinking about this. How do we start this? How do we do this? And I decided why not start at the beginning, right? So I rehearsed this, so please hang on. Brahishit bara Elohim ait hashamayim vait haaretz. Now those words that I just uttered, we know as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now beginning is a very profound term. I don't want to bore you with all the details and all the grammar and all the commentaries that I have to read just to be able to pronounce those letters, but the Hebrew is really interesting. Literally, in Hebrew, translated, it says, beginning, create, God. Doesn't make any sense to us, does it? In our English, those are like disparate words. And when we hear those, we try to make sense of that, and that's how all the construct comes about. And good thing there are grammar teachers, English teachers, that can figure that out. But it's interesting that we render it in, right, in the beginning. It seems specific in time, in the beginning, like there's a moment when it started. So we actually place even a tense on the verb, right? When the verb doesn't have a tense. Some translators say that it is in beginning. It could be translated at start. And there's many other versions. I tell you, the rabbis and the Hebrew folks go crazy on this one. They're so funny. But I really find interesting that we put in it our own temporal terms. The beginning. Or the start. The Hebrew Bereshit bara Elohim, to be more like, in the beginning that is always beginning, God created the creation that is still.
Amen.
You hear that, right? In the beginning that is always beginning, God created the creation that is still. So that will communicate that in the beginning is actually an active and a continuous event, a process. And God is right in the middle of it all. God is creation in all its sense. In other words, God's creativity equals all of it. And today we celebrate this continuation of what is being created in our own context, right? I said our own limited context because we say Mount Air Christian Church is like this location, place, and we limit it, don't we? But this is a limited context for an unlimited God. God is all through it, yeah. All around it. So Mount Air Christian Church is following this Creator God who is shaping, who is forming, who is leading this congregation in a journey of faith. And we're being invited to join in on this journey. Now, Puerto Ricans, right? You know? Journeys. Okay, so what do we take? What do we take for the journey, right? I mean, for a long time, and John knows, I traveled internationally, and I used to bring all kinds of stuff with me because I didn't know how the weather was going to be, if it was going to need some warm stuff or cold stuff, you know, and then you had to bring all your computers, and you had to bring all this, you guys going to be ready. And still, in the middle of all, you might lose your luggage. So I'm really bad at this. When I left Puerto Rico, I can tell you, I even brought a Volkswagen engine with me. See, I'm a dreamer, right? And I was dreaming that that Volkswagen engine, which I had worked on and I was fixed and I had prepped it all. I had new carburetor on it. I mean, this thing was going to be super fast, and I was going to find a chassis, and I'm going to paint it, prepare it, and all this stuff is coming with me. 18 years later, I gave it up. I said, "Will you please take this box out away from me?" Because you see, I was dreaming that that was the important thing. Volkswagen engine. So for this journey, we are to continually rely not on what we have or what we need to take, but on the Spirit of God. Yeah. The same one that moved upon the face of the waters. Perhaps you remember that following the verse we just read. So we are just ready for that Spirit to inspire us, to teach us, to lead us, to move within and equip us for the journey for which we cannot really be prepared. That's why I think it's called the journey of faith. The invitation from a creative God is to submerge ourselves in the water. To breathe in the air, the ruach, the wind of the Spirit of God. That is God's own breath, God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was and is still to come. I'd like to invite you to celebrate this journey of beginnings with this song called In the River. And I asked that the worship team will come up and we will sing this song. But I ask you to stand, please. As we pray. Father, we are here, a community of believers, open to receiving what you have for us. May we, Father, be willing to dare jump in the water. Embrace the breath of life that we have and join you for your glory. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. The song is a little fast tempo, so we're about to wake up for the Lord, right? We're about to jump into the water. Hold on, jump. Okay. That's probably the only exercise I've done. So I want you to get your hands together this morning when we're worshiping the Lord, and we're just going to enjoy ourselves, and then we'll bring it in. So just open up your heart to the Lord.
Yeah. Let's get our hands together. Yeah. That's it. There is a river, my goodness flows. Drown sorrow, there is an ocean rising over us.
The tide is rising, rising.
You to just have a seat. Dave is going to come up and continue the service.
So I'm going to introduce our vision presentation that we're going to give today. And this started over a year ago. Pastor Reuben, Chuck Thompson, and I met for lunch. And we wanted to talk about the future possibilities for Mount Air. So one of the things that we all agreed on was that we have a 100-year legacy of reaching, teaching, and serving. Amen. And that continues. We don't really see that changing. In fact, it's increasing. We have more ministries all the time. But one thing that we had to acknowledge was that we faced some challenges. So I'm going to talk about the challenges first, and then I'm going to talk about the positive attributes we've got. So we've got a lot of things on our side too, right? So let's talk about what we identified as challenges. And one of the things is that we're a smaller congregation, and it is challenging, isn't it, for a smaller congregation to support a growing number of ministries. So we had to face that as a challenge. Another thing is that our church building and our rental properties are getting older. You can see it. If you open your eyes and look around, they're looking a little old, right? Right? And the other thing we had to consider is that as a group, we're a little older congregation, and therefore we might be shrinking in numbers, right? If we shrink in numbers, okay, it becomes even more difficult to support all of those ministries. So we had to just state those things for what they are. Now, on the positive side, a big but, we have a lot of things really going for us. One of those things is that we do have this building and rental properties. We have a lot of property, and we have enough money to sustain what we're doing. I mean, we do. We're in pretty good shape right now. But we want to make sure we're positioned for a hopeful future. That's really what this is about. And these positive things bring us that hope. The fact that we have resources, it lets us be proactive in what we do next. Our legacy is recognized by the community and by community leaders. We have heard that, and you'll hear that today, I'm sure. This property is in a prime area for redevelopment. This zone is being redeveloped. As you drive around, just look, and it's happening. So that's positive for us. So 8 months ago, we began the work in earnest. We expanded our leadership team to include all of the trustees: Georgine Tomlinson, Chuck Cook, Chuck Thompson, more recently our elder chair, Ellen Rucker. We expanded our leadership team and we got to work. And now this is important. This part is really important. We purposefully and prayerfully began the work to discern where God would lead us. God is in this. Right? And as we were discussing these big questions, one question which came up just over and over was, should we go this alone? Or should we find partners to help us in this effort? That was a big question that was out there. Because we could go this alone, couldn't we? Through Ruben's connections to Jeffco Connects, and I always wonder about this, Reg, is it Jeffco Connects or Lakewood Connects?
Lakewood Connects, that's okay.
I keep saying Jeffco Connects. It's actually Lakewood Connects. Through Ruben's connections to Lakewood Connects, we were introduced to the Ignites Institute team. So I want to introduce you to the Ignites Institute team. They are a group of spiritually minded people. I can't emphasize that enough. They are a group of spiritually minded people. They have walked the neighborhood with us in prayer. They acknowledge our legacy, and they want worship and service to always be at the center of what happens here.
Amen.
Another thing about Ignites is that they have strong connections to the city of Lakewood. They have strong connections to community developers. All good things. And they want us to sustain what we're doing and thrive. And this is an invitation. Ignites has invited us to walk with them, to partner with them, and work on Mount Air's future. They would like to see Mount Air launch our future. Because that's what this is about. So I'm going to introduce the Ignites team now. I'm just going to go alphabetically. John Armstrong. John John teaches at the Colorado School of Mines. He's a mechanical engineer, and he's been my main contact at Ignite. Steve Burkholder. Steve's the former mayor of Lakewood. Reg Cox. Reg is a pastor, and now he is the organizer of Lakewood Connects. Gary Fuller. Gary Fuller is a leader in CREW, which at one time you might have known as Campus Crusade. Bill Senyard. Bill is a pastor, and he is a church revitalization specialist. So I will hand it over to Ignite.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, thank you, Dave. We appreciate that. We appreciate the opportunity for being here this morning. Again, my name is Steve Burkholder. I can't tell you how privileged we feel to be here today. I'm going to actually step back a little from what we're here to talk about as far as the concept of what we're going to be doing today. As we've been meeting, we talked about Not Air and the legacy. And what you're doing today of Reach, Teach, and Serve, and the great continued service that you do for all of us here in the city of Lakewood. But we stopped and we said, well, what are the two key things that we do when I was mayor? And what do we do as far as Ignites? And those two key words are trust. And the other word is collaboration, working with others. And those are evident in both of our organizations. And then I started to reflect, and our group did, about what is going on nationally right now. And you look at the news and the lack of civility and the respectful dialogue and just in general the culture of contempt that seems to be permeating itself in our society today. And then I related that to what has happened when I was public office, hard to believe 12 years ago, but what I saw was going on here in Jefferson County and how optimistic I was at the time and the great organizations we have like the Senior Resource Center and the Action Center and Jeffco Human Services. Those organizations and our law enforcement agencies. We've got some great organizations here in Jefferson County and great leadership, quite frankly, in many of those organizations. It was my privilege to work in them. And I felt a trust when I was in office to the people in the city of Lakewood. I always use the statement, would I want to see what I did on the front page of the newspaper? I really felt a strong inkling there. But the question that I brought up at one of our meetings was, as we move forward in this process, it has to be a we. We have to have that collaborative attitude as we progress. And I also had another thought that really hit me when I was in elected office was one of the things that I felt was missing, even with all these infrastructures and leadership that we had in place in Jefferson County, there was one thing missing. There was something missing that was keeping us from solving or addressing some of these problems that were there. And that something that was missing was a strong relationship was with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we move forward with what is now known as Ignites Institute, I will read you what our mission statement is. We need to work together to build a thriving community and engage everyone into flourishing relationships that transform their lives. And that is the blessings of God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that's what we're here for. And Pastor Reuben talked about that. It's critical that we ask God for His direction. Thy will be done. And as we move forward, it can be risky. It can be risky. It's not easy. We have to look at, well, what are the needs of our community? What is the vision that's necessary to achieve that? And how do you implement that? And I'll give you two examples that were risky. One was Belmar. I was intricately involved with that. It wasn't me, it was the people around me. I always believed you surround yourself with smarter people than you and things get done. But I will tell you, Belmar was built on a handshake. That was trust. Of course, we brought people in and crossed the T's and dotted the I's. But that was built on trust. And I think that that's so, so important. West Colfax is another example. We've got great leadership right now in West Colfax. And look at how West Colfax changed. That's what brought my wife and I to Lakewood. The old JCRS shopping center.
Yes.
And things started to go like this when I-70 was built. And now West Colfax is going like this with some great things that are happening. So my challenge to you today is to remember trust and collaboration. That's what makes it happen. It can be done. It can be done. John?
I am John Armstrong, and it's been quite a journey. I really like, Dave, when you started off saying about where this process started. So I don't believe in coincidences. I think of God instances. And so if you look at our journey a year and a half ago, about the same timeline is that we're going through, and this is where I meet Steve. I meet Steve at a Bible study. Okay, and I have no contemplation that I'd be standing up here talking about this today. I can promise you that. But this is a God's journey. It's creation unfolding in front of us. And so I meet Steve there and I say, Steve, we need to have a cup of coffee. And I asked him this question. And I said, where were you on April 20th, 1999? Now that's a horrific event that happens in our community in Jefferson County. And we discussed the happenings of that. And this is the start of a conversation. Because I felt drawn to talk to Steve because he was talking about how he was working with some folks that were integrating faith into the community. And this is actually something I specialized within the business environment. I'm a serial entrepreneur, had many businesses, but always bringing faith right into the middle of it and learning and what that process looks like. And so I asked Steve this, and it was very troubling to sit down and discuss. Not only that, but there's 155 of these events that happened since then, 20 years later. Now, these are issues that Steve was talking about, they're out there in our communities happening all the time. Another one that plagues us these days is suicide. Very serious. Since 1999, 33% increase, and it's only continuing. In 2017, there was 108 in Jefferson County alone, which is just horrific as to what's going on. And so Steve and I were sitting there talking about these things and wondering, 20 years later, what is leadership doing? What's happening that we're addressing these issues? And we came back as an invitation that started us meeting, and this is meeting as a call that put together from Frank DeAngelis, who was the principal at the time, says that somebody needs to come and be a healing force in the community. Not at the national level, not at the state level, but we're looking right here at our communities and going, what are we doing as leaders? And I felt convicted that what else would I go work on? Yes, I could go build buildings and structures and things, make money. But what is going on that leadership is bringing this together? So it started a conversation that, indeed, I got to sit down with Steve, and he brought in Reg and Gary and Bill Sinyard. And I'll talk about that from not their resumes, but how God brought all our journeys together in one spot and started weaving together all our gifts in such a unique way to bring our backgrounds in. Each one bringing their strength in this from a relationship, from a passion about the gospel. All of us looking at how is that lived within our communities. And it was amazing to sit there. And so the question I'll ask you guys is a favorite question that was asked of me many years ago from a business coach. He asked me this question: how tall can a tree grow? It's a great question. And I remember sitting there wrestling with that answer when he helped me out and finally told me, as tall as it can. And that's the journey we're on, what type of tree we're going to grow. And so when we start to look at it, we use our mission and we start to talk about our mission in terms of how do we grow that tree. Because at the beginning of this is co-create. It's the word that stands out for me all the time because in of itself, I do nothing of value without God. Without the resources that He brings into this and weaves together. And it's such an important notion to go into a thriving community is talk about it's a co-creation. That it's not us by ourselves. Because Dave, I really appreciate that there's an option to do it by yourself. But how tall could your tree grow? Not that I look at the passion that this church and its impacts on community, the ROI, return on investment, and what you put in is amazing. If we could take your heart and plant it into some other churches that mega churches are around, oh my goodness, what change could we create? Yeah. Absolutely mind-blowing. Shaming to them, actually. And where their focus is, just it blew us away to start to understand the legacy of Mount Air. And the key component is you guys are engaging everybody. Just the way Jesus does it, right at the well. Right at the well. There's no instrument, there's no measurement, there's no checkoff list. You're meeting them right at the well. And this is what we see as community flourishing. But to make it grow, we have to do more than just ourselves. And God is breathing in right now so many resources to go do this that we looked at the invitation and went, we would be disobedient to not answer that invitation. And that's what generated our mission. So when you start to talk about, well, what is Ignites Institute and why does it have its name? And we could talk longer than I would be given on that. And I was already told that, by the way, because I suffer the same thing from Reuben, so cautious. But I'm going to skip over and say that it's a thought leadership. And what that means is, in simple terms, we're going to plan. We're going to take the gifts collectively and we're actually going to plan out. Because He gave us that ability in service to community. In lots of different ways, looking at it across a landscape and saying, hey, we want to do things intentionally. Because it's with intention that this plan comes from. Deploying assets, the last part of what we do, is what we're going to talk about from an Ignites outpost. And this is how we start to come together, where you are right now, already within the community, and start to grow the tree. Because we want to see this community flourish. And you guys are just integral. 100 years changing community here. In ways that just story after story, people that come back and go, look, I remember. And what we see is a journey continuing
and growing that so that we're talking about this 100 years as a community from now. So what does that mean? Well, really, we start to look at the holistic human flourishing is what a goal of an outpost is. It's a safe place. It's a trusted place to come to help heal relationally within oneself first. Because if I'm not healed within oneself, if I have all this conflict, I can't really engage others, which is the next level of relationship, is to engage others. And you guys do this in just amazing ways because the Spirit is really just within you. Because it's the Holy Spirit that does all this stuff. Me, I don't have a muscle group that I can exercise. Believe me, Bill Senior has been working on me about that for years. Right? But it's this opening the floodgates to the gospel and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and direct and lead us that allows us to build relationships into other and to pull that together. Ultimately, so that we can engage what creation has given us into God's purpose. Which I love asking pastors now. I love this. This is a question I'm asking. It's live. I asked Reg just the other day. I said, hey, can you tell me what the purpose God has for humanity? That's always a fun question for a pastor. Try it out. It's to be in relationship with us. I promise you, it's not because God's going to want us to have a 10G network and he's going to go, hey, you made the club. He wants to be in relationship with us. So everything we're doing is to heal the suffering, to allow it to be a relationship. Yeah. See, this is what a community outpost would look like. It's not about the edifice. It's about what we're moving into the community and drawing on all aspects, all relationships. We're not just sitting over siloing ourselves as we're just the church. But we're reaching in with business. We're reaching in with government. We're reaching in, just like Jesus, right in to the Gentiles. He didn't just hang out over there with the religious elite. He walked out. And that's what you do so beautifully. And we just want to grow that tree together. Now, I can tell you that we have resources and everything else. It's a process. And we can unpack that process again. That would take too much longer to do. But the result is, because everybody goes, well, what's going to happen? That fear, right? We all know where fear comes from. And I'll tell you that I've been taught that fear is false expectation appearing real. False expectation appearing real.
Right.
We have a process that we can walk through together that will allow us to live out the creation that God is leading us towards. Amen. On a journey that intersected the two of us in ways we don't even understand yet. Right? Do we have the resources to do an evaluation, do this, figure out what's the best ROI? You see, ROI is a funny thing. It's not about money. It's about how we're ingraining and growing the tree of community and moving towards God's purpose, which is not a bigger, better building. It's about how it's going to be used to integrate into community and grow the tree.
Amen.
And that's what we're being called to do. That's our purpose. This is the invitation that all of us are answering in Ignites. That has put us on the same journey. And so we're about taking your tree and growing it, this legacy, and growing it, because an oak tree, what's the life of an oak tree? 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And that's what we see Mount Air as a community. Not next 100. It's how we're planting in this community something that grows with it. And then we continue and we use all the branches, not just one, to reach all of His people. So that's why we think you're a vital outpost.
Thank you.
Good morning, Matt Air.
Good morning.
Reg Cox here. Best looking bald guy you've had in a long time. Many Sundays in a row. I know you can't wait. Here's what our churches are challenged with in Lakewood and really across the world, is they've drifted away from the anchor of two critical scriptures. This is how you measure success. In Matthew 22, Jesus responds to a question by a very smart lawyer, and he says, here's the two greatest commands. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now we're supposed to measure everything about our faith through the lens of that passage. And then in Matthew 25, Jesus pictures the end of all time. And he describes the end of time coming before God. And the measurement there is how we have responded to the least of these. Those in our community that struggle, that have great needs. That's where that's where all churches need to measure their success. There's a lot of great things to consider about buildings and ministries and programs and leadership and whether Reuben should preach longer or shorter. I know these are very complicated questions. But if you're going to measure your success, it really begins right here. Matthew 22 and Matthew 25. And that's where I connect with you guys. Because as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus Christ, I connect with Mount Air right there in those two passages. Because those passages, that command of Jesus, is at the heart of this church. So here's where we are this morning. Dave started it out. We really need to look into the future to really guard those essential measurements in Scripture about what a church should look like and be about. We need to look into the future. We need to make some bold plans. And we need to do this together. We need to bring in partnerships that we might not normally bring in so that we can protect the command and the vision of Jesus for this church into the future. You see, sometimes blessings don't at first look like a blessing. Something comes in our life and you wouldn't normally think, wow, boy, I'm glad that happened. I grew up in Dallas and my mother and my brother still live there. My mom is 91 years old. And 5 years ago when my stepfather passed away, we were all worried about mom. I mean, how do we tell her, you can't take care of yourself anymore, mom. You can't live in your house anymore. But we were all too scared to tell her. So none of us did anything. Literally, this is the way it went down. She called my brother one day. He's an old iron worker. And she told him, I need to move into senior living. I picked out some places that I want to visit. And we have appointments on Monday. Come pick me up at 8 a.m. All right, Mom. My brother dropped everything, went and picked up Mom. They looked at a few places. And that afternoon, she called me. In 1 month, I'm going to move out of the house into senior living. If there's anything you want in the house, come to Texas and get it. Thanks for that blessing, Mom. You know, I mean, that's what we prayed about, right? And my mom made it easy on the rest of the family. But I can tell you, in the moment, that didn't necessarily feel like a blessing. Because I want my mom just to I want my kids to go, Mom makes biscuits and we sit at the table and I just want to do that forever. But you can't. The difference and the change is a blessing. Thank you, God. For 100 years, Mount Air has been a service leader in the city of Lakewood. You have an incredible legacy, 100-year legacy of serving. For the past 15 years, Mount Air leaders have partnered with other churches to serve the greater good of Lakewood together. I've served beside and I've prayed with Trevor Lee and Pastor Joel Newton and now Pastor Reuben. You see, Mount Air and the rest of these churches in Lakewood, We're committed to more than just doing church. We believe that the gospel is supposed to transform entire communities. You don't just preach and do church someplace. You influence for good the entire community. And then you know what? Mount Air is fully committed to that vision. So for the past 5 years, Reuben and your leaders, as Dave described, they've been wrestling, they've been dreaming, they've been praying. How do we honor this great legacy that we've been given to steward, yet at the same time, stay true to our mission, reach, teach, and serve, and at the same time, face the fact our church is aging, it's dwindling. How do we do all that? Is there a path forward for Mount Air? Is there a path forward that honors a 100-year legacy, supports the mission, and so that the church and the community around it flourishes? That's God's desire. That's God's design. Everything flourishes. You don't just survive, you thrive. So right now, we're having the mom talk. Can't stay in the house anymore. But the next step is going to be good. But we're going to do this together. God has aligned the leadership, and I believe the heart of this church at Mount Air, with Ignite's Institute, with a very common vision. We're going to figure this out together. We're going to pool resources and this legacy and this mission. We began this conversation in earnest about a year ago, as Dave said. And today, regardless of who you are, and regardless of how old you are, and that story about my mom made you feel a little freaky, it really doesn't matter who you are. It matters that we need your help. We need your help to walk into this vision together. We need to write this story together. It's not all finished, but we know that this change and this opportunity is happening, and it's happening right now. We need your help to secure a pathway into the next 100-year vision for Mount Air Christian Church. You see, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. And so what's beginning today is a conversation and a walking together into the future. Just like my family did with my mom, just like God's people leaving Egypt did as they followed God to the promised land, just like the disciples leaving what was familiar and what was comfortable so they could follow Jesus. God's people have always been a people that are on a journey. I'm not from here. I'm not building palaces of man. I'm building the kingdom of God in human lives, in a community, in a neighborhood. That's what we're doing. And so Ignites is here this morning with an invitation to help build your next 100 years on. We're crossing over the river. This passage in Joshua 4 illustrates the Israelites coming to the Jordan River. And it's what Reuben took us to this morning, and Rhonda in the worship song, crossing the river. And they came up to the River Jordan. On the other side of the river was the promise. And it had been a long and arduous journey. And of course, when they show up to the Jordan River, it's flooding. Sure, thanks God. It's always going to be a flood, you know. And so it's going to, whatever we do together in the future will be impossible without God's help. And so we step into the river in confidence and faith together. And suddenly the river stops flowing. And that illustrates Joshua taking stones out of the center of the river to build the Ebenezer. And they wrote on it the promises of God. And we will do the same thing. Together we can find this solid future. Let's do this. Let's do this. So Lord, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to dream bold dreams. And we just pray that your promise will guide us as we seek together the greater desire and dream you have for Mount Air Christian Church. Lead us into Lead us into your vision for our future together. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
I would like to take the a moment and invite Reg and Chuck to come up, and we're going to prepare to do what we're calling an affirmation, and for that we're going to invite you both, and I'd like for all the members of in nights to come, we're going to read an affirmation for both of us, the members of Mount Air and the members of Ignites. Right. Yes, if you could just stand right up here and face the congregation. An affirmation. What in the world is an affirmation? Simply put, an affirmation is a statement of truth. That's what it is, a statement of truth. In fact, as we prepare for this communion, one of those ultimate statements of truth made by Christ to us is, I am surrendering my life for you. A statement of truth. So together we are going to give to each other, mutually give to each other, the congregation and our Ignites Institute, our community support team, an affirmation. Not a contract, not a formal agreement, but an affirmation, a statement of truth that we give to each other to start our journey forward. Are the statements going to be up on that?
Yep.
Okay. This is the statement that we're going to be asking you to make to us. And if you would read that together, please, to the congregation.
As partners in Christ, we affirm our appreciation and encouragement for you, for your spiritual presence, and for your ministries in the community. We pledge to pray for you, to share our vision and experience with you, to listen and understand your desires, and to give you support during revitalization. And we rejoice in your willingness to embrace the transformation needed to continue your legacy of being disciples who make disciples. Amen.
Thank you for that affirmation. Now, congregation, will you please stand? In return, we are going to provide to you our affirmation. If you'll join me. As partners in Christ, we affirm our desire to be an incarnational church, revitalized and transformed to reach, teach, serve our changing community. We also affirm our openness to receive your knowledge, encouragement, and support. We pledge to pray for you, to welcome your vision, insights, and guidance, and to share ours in return. And we rejoice in your faith in us and your belief that we can help ignite a spiritual renewal in our community. And let us all say, Amen.
Thank you. As we've been doing in this special service, we have acknowledged that God is all about relationship. And God's relationship with us is marked in history through his death and resurrection. And when we come together at the table, we definitely know that this is one of the moments where Jesus tells his disciples that from that moment on, things are going to change. There's going to be a newness in their relationship with God. And as that, as far as we are concerned, we are always invited to the table. We are all invited to partake of what this means. So we remember today together as a congregation, as a community, folks who are in the community and participating in life of community. We remember what Jesus did with his disciples. Because one day, when they were at the table, he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you."
Taking the cup, Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you for the redemption of your sins."
Let us pray. Abba, who knows our every weakness, yet empowers us with strength to serve, we thank you for this bread and this cup. We seek the spiritual strength so necessary if we are to serve your kingdom. Fill our lives with your spirit so that we may be able to fulfill our commitment. In your name we pray. Amen.